Okay, I gotta tell you, I love that music. Good choice, Pastor Dwayne. That's so like uppy, pop, boop, 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 boop. So good. All right, at this time, very quietly, the children are dismissed for Asbury Church Kids. So if you wanna make your way over, just so you know, I got a thing of brownies here for those who stay. And sorry, kids. Kids don't get the brownies this morning, just the big people. Oh, I love doing that to them. I love doing that to them. Hey, Mackenzie, do you like brownies? Do you like brownies? Yeah? Do you, yes or no? If you don't, it's okay. We still love you. It's there's no salt in the brownies. So you got to understand, our teens are a little shell-shocked, suspicious. So they did this thing at Wednesday night, because we have our family nights every Wednesday. We have stuff for kids, the adults, and the youth. And Pastor Dwayne made some amazing brownies because they look good, but they tasted funny. He added, I think, 3/4 of a cup of salt. And then they handed them out. And so they were a little burned by that. But young people, there is no salt. Extra salt in this. So Mackenzie, do you like real brownies? Are you good with real brownies or not? Yes? Yes? Okay. So I'll get you a brownie in a bit. Okay? You. Because I care about you. I'll get you a brownie. Okay? You good with that? All right. You looking forward to it? Yeah, me too. All right. Anyway. So take your Bibles. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. Now, as we begin, I'm going to do a PSA, a public service announcement. And then I will do a message. And some of you will feel like, oh my goodness, this is two messages. But it's just a PSA and then a message. And so the first is the PSA. So we live in a wonderful country. Can I get an amen on that one? We live in a great country. And as you may not, if you're not aware, let me tell you, we are in the midst of a political season. How many love politics? Come on. You guys are excited about politics as you are of taxes.
Yay!
Now, I understand political seasons are always awkward seasons. They're kind of, you know, like what should do, yada, da, da, da. And we're just like, we'll just keep our heads down and push forward and all these different things. I just want you to know that I think it's so important for us as a church, as individuals. How many know the church isn't though we're an organization, the church ultimately isn't the organization, it's the people. We are the church. That Jesus has called us actually to be salt and light to our community. And not salt in the sense of, you know, 3/4 of a cup in brownies, but something that preserves, something that enhances. I believe the church is to be a force for good in our world. Can I get a witness on that one? Okay, and so one of the ways we can do that is through the democratic process that is a part of the governance that we have. You may not realize this, but God was the one who came up with the idea of governments, and so there's this thing that we have a responsibility and we have an opportunity to participate in the process. Now, in the midst of all of this, how many know that sometimes in the way America does politics, that we love to focus on personalities. And just so you know, what happens in politics often is there is the elevating of some and the diminishment of others. And in both ways, that there's distortion, because many times the way people are moved is to focus on persons. I want to challenge you to, as you become and as you live as salt and light in our community, to pay more attention to policies than to personalities. And I think it's so important for us to say, Lord, what is it that you would have us do in order that the greatest amount of good may move forward? And so as a church, we're not a Republican church, we're not a Democrat church, we're not an independent church, we're just a church. But I think that we have responsibilities to be informed, and not only informed, but also to be involved. And we all have a part, and I know that beginning, I think it's beginning this week that there's some of the early voting stuff begins and all those different things. And for us to accept our responsibility as a part of this wonderful country that we're a part of, can I get an amen on that one? Amen. Okay, so there's that. Additionally, there are times where issues come up that become areas of concern. Okay, so I want to share one. So one that's unique to New York. So on the ballot this year is Proposition 1. And it has a lovely sounding name which deals with equal rights, the equal rights of some kind. And many of the pieces in it are already a part of the Constitution of New York. And this is a proposition to change the Constitution of New York to include gender identity as a right within our state. My concern with this is that it actually begins to impinge upon the right of parents, of mom and dads and individuals to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We believe that God has made people, and he's made people with purpose and on purpose. Everybody say with purpose. And everybody say on purpose. And I think this is a really important idea, that God has made people. And we recognize the brokenness of humanity because of sin and the fact that everybody wrestles with different things. And sometimes there's this push to say, well, maybe I'm just not who I am and I need to be somebody else. And here's my thing. Here's my thing. Adults, you're an adult. You make decisions. I may not always agree with your decision, but you're an adult. You make decisions. It becomes a very different thing when stuff gets dumped on children. And I think children is something we need to be mindful of. Let me tell you something Jesus said. How many are familiar with Jesus? How many think Jesus is a pretty smart guy? How many think that if you're a follower of Jesus, you have to be mindful of what Jesus says? And so he actually says this, and there are some things that Jesus says that make us feel all warm, fuzzy inside, and then there's other things that I think just cause us to have a little bit of attention, and he says this: it is better to tie a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the sea rather than cause one of these little ones of mine to sin. What Jesus is saying in this is the importance and necessity of guarding innocence. Guarding innocence. One of the dangers that I see in our culture is that there is stuff that's being pushed on innocence. Where young people, children, teenagers, early teenagers, are being fed information that they're responding and reacting to, and they have no capacity to understand what a long-term consequence is. And we have to be very mindful, and I think that it is important for us as followers of Jesus to do what we can to influence toward good. And I just challenge you, like as we come into this season, more than just personalities, to begin to say, okay, God, how is it that you want me to influence my world, my community, my country for your glory? And I would just encourage you to be prayerful during this season. And just to say, God, would you help us do the things that are good? And to be mindful of innocence. Because my concern about Prop 1 is how it's going to damage innocence. Does that make sense? And so I just would you be praying? So that's my PSA. So I hope you still love me. This is why we have brownies this morning. Because how many know you deal with the difficult issues, you need something sweet to kind of just help that go down. You remember Mackenzie brownies, right? I gotcha. All right. So everybody take a deep breath. Inhale. Exhale. He goes, done with the PSA. How many ready for a sermon now? Okay, that was really weak. I was expecting like, yeah, bring it on, yeah. Okay, how many ready for a sermon? Yes. That's better. Okay, let's talk about money. Let's not save it. Okay, so let's have some fun this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to have some fun this morning. All right, this is going to be good. I can feel the spirit in the room. Can you feel it? Everybody's on pins and needles. Okay? So we are in the midst of our series, Kingdom Building. And the idea is that God has called us to build his kingdom. You remember what Jesus said, final words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. These are the final words and final instructions of Jesus to his followers, which is essentially this: go build my kingdom. Now, I don't know if this idea is just kind of like wrestling with me or working inside me. I had this funky dream last night. Anybody here have funky dreams every once in a while? My dream last night was I woke up. I mean, in my dream, I was in a school, and I was doing some renovations in the school, and I was like painting, and I was doing all this work, and then I went away, and then I came back, and now this school that was like small, it reminded me of the school I went to for, what, fifth grade through ninth grade. And all of a sudden, I go back, and it's gone. And it's this giant field that has excavators and all these things, and I'm wandering around looking for my tools to build, and I can't find them anywhere. But there's something about building. We are actually called to build the kingdom of God. And I asked a question a couple weeks ago. What does it take to build the kingdom? And you remember we started out that Rome wasn't built in a day. How many know building kingdoms takes time? Right? And it requires our time. Last week, we talked about how building the kingdom requires our attention. That we actually have to not only be attentive to it, but to be present. How many know you can be in church and you're present but not present? How many here this morning you're present but not present? Right? That you're like that every day. We are called that if we're going to build the kingdom, we actually have to be present. So Jesus, that this is such an important idea, that Jesus, in order to transform all of history, God stepped into humanity, and it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That he chose to be present, and if we're going to build the kingdom, it requires our time. It requires our presence. And today, we're going to talk about it also requires our finance. See, I told you we talk about money, and you're like, oh my goodness. Now, some of you, you're visiting. This may be your first time to Asbury Church, and you're like, good Lord, do they talk about money all the time? And everybody said, no. I was concerned. I wasn't sure where that was going. But Jesus said this. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 14. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Everybody say, build a tower. And so Jesus is using an analogy of building. Won't you first sit down and see if you have enough money to complete it? Do you have, see, building requires finance. And I have this big conviction that building the kingdom requires God's people to be a generous people, to be a people who live with open hands. Now, how many of you have ever wanted a monkey for a pet? Okay, see a few of us. Okay, so here's a way to catch a monkey. Right? Like this is actually a legitimate way that they catch monkeys in different parts of the world where they try to catch monkeys. They get a gourd, right? And they cut a hole in it just large enough for a monkey to put its hand in. And what they do is they after they make that hole, they hollow it out and then they put something tasty, something that the monkey wants, and the monkey will reach his hand in and he'll grab the thing, and then he'll try to pull his hand out, and it can't. And because the monkey is unwilling to let it go, the monkey can be more easily caught. How many know that humans do the same kind of thing? That we can hold on to something so tightly that it makes us easy to be caught. It makes it easy for us to be entrapped and ensnared. Actually, the very first temptation in the Bible was so that that Adam and Eve would be in the garden and they would grasp for a fruit and they would close their hand around it. Yet what God calls his followers to be is to be like him who is open-handed. I love Psalm 145 that tells us this, that God opens his hand and supplies blessing for everybody. That God is a God who opens his hand. And I'm convinced that if we're going to build the kingdom, we actually have to be open-handed people. And that requires us to be generous. Many of you, you're familiar with John 3:16, right? That famous verse. For God so loved the world, he gave. How many know giving requires an open hand? And he has been open-handed with us, and he wants to work his image and likeness in us so that we might be people who live with an open hand. Because if we're going to build the kingdom, it's going to require us to open our hands. Now, the big idea we're going to think around this morning is simply this. Kingdom-minded people are to be an open-handed people. Kingdom-minded, open-handed. Kingdom-minded, open-handed. Does this make sense? Kingdom-minded people are to be open-handed people. So we're going to talk about this. What does it take to build the kingdom? Well, it takes God's people being generous. And the way we're going to start talking about this is talking about a foundation for generosity, the thing that helps build the platform in our lives so that we can be more generous. And that begins with faithfulness to tithing. Now, what is tithing? Tithing is giving 10% of one's income resource to support the church and its ministries. Now, tithing is something that I have done. And so as I share with you, just understand, I am sharing with you something that I believe deeply in my life, and I back up with the way that I live. And I'll tell you why I think tithing is important. I'll give you some of my reasons real quickly. It's an act of trust and obedience. The reason I tithe is because it's a demonstration of my trust and my obedience to God. Tithing grows my faith. It helps me recognize who my source is. It begins to break the power of greed in my life. You may not know this about me, but I like to hold on to things. Tithing helps me let it go. It challenges me to live for something greater than just me. And it also motivates me to be more intentional with my finances. And I just want to talk a little bit this morning about the foundation for generosity, which is tithing. And so we're going to look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. And so Malachi is a prophet. And he's writing a few hundred years before Jesus comes. And God's people had been in exile because of their disobedience to God. They had rejected him. They had done their own thing. And as a result, enemy nations came in and destroyed Jerusalem. They not only broke down the walls, they also destroyed the temple, the place where God's presence was manifest, where the place that was central to the worship of God. And the people, a whole bunch of people, were taken, and they were taken from their land, from the things they were familiar with, and put in a foreign land to learn new customs, new traditions, and all these different things. And so they were in captivity, and God, by his grace, brought them back. And in bringing them back, not only did he rescue them and redeem them, but he was working to restore their lives. And part of the restoration was there's the restoration of the temple. So a temple's rebuilt. The walls are restored. The sacrifice and worship of God is restored. Yet as time went on, as people came back, they became less focused and aware of what God's presence and kingdom was about. And they became more concerned with their own stuff, their own kingdom. And as a result, God would send prophets to speak to them. He would send people to challenge their self-centeredness or their focus on self. and help return it to worshiping God. And this is part of the reason that Malachi is sent. And so it set up the whole book. If you read the book, it's only three chapters. It's not a super long read, but the way it's set up is this. It's kind of set up where it's almost like a court case or where there's an argument where it's like going, hey, I just want you to know this is what I'm seeing. This is what's going on. And so there's this dialogue that'll happen within the accounts. And so he's going to deal with a whole bunch of issues. But then he's going to deal with the specific area of both of giving. And so this is what it says in Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. It begins by saying this, I, the Lord, do not change. Everybody say, God doesn't change. God doesn't change. Okay, so it'll say this about Jesus in Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many know our God doesn't change? So because God doesn't change, because he's consistent, he's faithful, because of that, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? And then the question is asked, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. And you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So I just want to note three things from this passage that I think are really important to us. If we're going to be people who live in right relationship with God, I think these are three things we need to understand. The first is simply this, is that God takes covenant seriously. That God takes the idea of covenant seriously. What is a covenant? A covenant is a bonding of two or more parties who come together to make a commitment, agreeing on promises, stipulations, privileges, and responsibilities. A covenant is two parties that are coming together in agreement. Now, the way it gets manifest in our culture is how many know that a wedding ceremony is really the enactment of a covenant. It is actually the commitment of two individuals that we are going to do life together for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, and you'll find there's stipulations in it, and we'll do it as long as we both shall live. And not only that, we will have a sign to indicate what this commitment is. How many of you are wearing your ring this morning? That just reminds you, like, where am I wearing the ring? My son, are you wearing your ring? He's not. Oh my word, he's in trouble. He's in trouble. We wear our rings to remind, just so you know, not to give him too bad a time, I'm actually not wearing my ring. Dude, I felt like the oxygen in the room went away. I'll come down and repent. Hold on. So the reason I'm not is because I do different work and stuff like that. Rachel was so kind to say, Dave, I'll get you some of the silicone bands so you don't lose it or break it. And so I'm like, thank you, Lord. And so I'm wearing something that's silicone. It's not the expensive gold one that she gave me, but the ring is just, it's the sign of the covenant. It's the recognition that this is a relationship or a commitment that has been made before God and before people. And just so you know, the issue of covenant is really a big deal. That one of the issues Malachi will deal with in his book is that the culture had shifted so much that marital commitment was falling apart. And that God will actually address the issue of unfaithfulness and broken covenant in marriage, because he's like, listen, guys, covenant matters to me. And we need to understand that covenant matters to God. Much of the language that we use in worship is actually language that's connected to covenant. So you may not know this, but how many know that in church you'll hear words like faithfulness? We'll sing about it. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you know what faithfulness is? Faithfulness is the fact that you are dependable and you are faithful to the covenant. That's what faithfulness is. It's being faithful to the covenant. So when God says, listen, I want you to know, I, the Lord, do not change. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying so much more than just the fact that I'm immutable. He's saying, listen, I am true to my covenant. If I have promised it in relationship, I will perform it. And so this is so important that God is faithful. The challenge is how many know that as people, we are not always faithful to covenant. But the language of church, not only the word faithfulness, how many know that sometimes we use the word love in church, right? You know, Jesus will tell us this. Hey, guys, two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it, which is love your neighbor as yourself. You may not know this, but both those commands are found in the covenant that God made with Moses and with the people of Israel to be in relationship with them. And love in covenant language means I am loyal and I am devoted to you. It's more than feeling. How many know that if love is only a feeling we have, how many know that our covenants and our commitments are just going to be quite fair weather, right? And you know this as parents. How many of you love your kids? And it's been a rough road sometimes with some of your kids. Can I get a witness on this one? Like, they won't wear their wedding rings. Good night, in public even. Oh, they make your mom and dad look bad. But the language of love is actually covenant language. Do you know what sin is? Sin is actually violation of covenant. It's the fact that you have done something that has broken the covenant. It's that you've acted against the relationship. You have chosen to elevate self over the commitment that you've made to another. That's what sin is. And what sin does is it sets something in motion. In the same way, you know what obedience is? It's alignment with the covenant. And just in case you're thinking, well, that's just Old Testament ideas. Did you know when Jesus gathered with his followers the night before he died? We celebrate this at communion. We remember this at communion. It says he takes the cup and he says, this cup is the new what? Covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. That this whole thing that we are doing is a relationship with God. It's not religion. It's not formality. All of this is about relationship with God. It's about saying, my life is in relationship with my Creator. My sin may have broken the covenant, but because of what Christ has done, that relationship is restored so that I can live again in the covenant. Reality is, living in covenant can be hard. And many times we fall short of what it is that the covenant demands. And in Malachi's day, one of the areas that they were failing in covenant was in regards to their tithes and offerings. Just so you know, again, the tithe is the 10%. The offering is anything above it. You see, part of the covenant is connected to language that we find called the Ten Commandments. How many remember the Ten Commandments? Do you know what the eighth commandment is, by the way? Thou shalt not steal. Now, I remember, I think it was Jonathan and I thought it was Matt this morning. He's like, no, it was John. I remember you telling me. John and I went to Agway, just down the road. And we walk into the store, and as we're going in, I noticed a man who was standing in front of the chainsaws looking at the chainsaws, because how many know chainsaws are beautiful things, and they are gifts from God. I love chainsaws. Fire them suckers up. I love two-stroke exhaust. It feeds the soul. And so I watch this guy. He's looking at the chainsaws, and it just brings a grin to my face. I'm like, this is great. And so we go, and we get our gear. We come to the checkout, and as we're checking out, I notice that the guy who's checking us out, he was there but not there. He was doing his job, but he wasn't paying attention to us. And he was a bit taller than me, and I remember he was looking over my head in the direction of the chainsaws. And all of a sudden, as I'm getting ready to pay, he goes running out from behind the counter. And he's like, he's taking a chainsaw. And the guy with the chainsaw is running out the door. And he's chasing after him. And I'm like going, well, I guess we go get him. And so I chase out afterwards. And John does too. And this guy, he pulls his door shut. And this I loved it. This attendant, he's sitting there. He's kicking the door. He's banging it in. The guy's yelling at him. And he finally drives away. We're chasing after him, getting license plate number. And we're like going, that's pretty audacious. Good Lord, I just witnessed a robbery. I felt like Hardy Boys again. I'm like, we'll go solve this sucker. Now, sometimes we think of robbery like that, and so the question is, hey, you know, what are we doing wrong? You know, you want us to return? What does it look like? He says, well, hey, will a mortal, will a man, will an individual rob God? And we might think, oh, he's got the mask on, or he's taking an absconding. But how many know sometimes we can rob God, but it's not always because it's malicious, or we're just trying to take something. It's just the way life works. Now, I got my brownies. How many love brownies? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Okay, I think I'm going to do this right. All right. I'm going to pretend this is my bank account or my income. All right? And so here's the thing. This is kind of, it's always hard to get the first one out. I got the first one out. Okay, here we go. I got napkins too. Because how many know sometimes in our lives we're like going, hey, I have bills that I got to pay. How many of you, I want to ask how many got a car payment, but how many know cars are nice to have? And how many know they're not free? And how many know you're like going, oh, good Lord, I'm grateful for a car, I need a car, and I have to pay for a car. And so you're like going, you know, John, thank you for the car, and you make your payment. Here you go, buddy.
Thank you.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Oh, it's so good. So good. Other times, this week was a fun week for us. Last Sunday, you know, Rachel was away, and so she comes, you know, while she's away, we come home from church. I take my Sunday afternoon nap, because how many know the right thing to do every Sunday after church is take a nap? Can I get a witness on this one? Praise the Lord. It's the Lord's day. It's the day of rest. Lay down, enter the Lord's rest. It's a beautiful thing. I get up, I go to the tap, I turn it on, and the water goes boo to nothing. My water pump died. But I thank Jesus that I have friends that I call out to, and I'm like, hey, do you know anybody with a water pump? You know, and so Wayne was great because he came and helped me for a bit, and that didn't solve the problem and all this. But then here I am spending money to get my water pump fixed. So thank you. You didn't do it, but
me?
That's for you. Yeah, because, man, I had a shell out for a water pump. Jeez Louise. But it wasn't terrible. It wasn't terrible. I love you, though. And then there was... This spring, we found out that, good night, our chimney started leaking. Yeah, that's not fun. And so I'm like going, okay, chimney's leaking. And I'm like going, I don't know that I want to deal with it. So I call someone up, and I'm like, let me get a bid. I got a bid, $5,600. And I'm like going, yeah, I think I'll do it myself. And so I went to Amazon, and I ordered what I needed. It was $200. How many say thank Jesus for Amazon? Yeah. And I paid my money. Okay, so here's the other. How many of you got kids? Good Lord, they eat. And they eat. Oh, my goodness. How many remember those days? Teenagers, like, I don't know how the Sharpsteins do it. Because sometimes Ben comes over to my house, and you're just like, holy cow, Ben. It's a beautiful thing, but... But you got to go to all, how many are grateful for Aldi or Wegmans or Tops? You just go and you're like, oh, because you got to like shell out some serious coin for this. So Rachel, this is for you. Good night. That's double. I know it's double because I know your family, like that's just like, wow. And then you're like, oh, good night. We need internet. How many are grateful for internet? You're at the house. You're like, dude, it's really boring when you don't have internet and you can't connect. You're like, oh, my goodness, I'm grateful for Time Warner. And so here, you can have this one, my friend. There you go. Merry Christmas. And you make that payment. Oh, that's right. There's Christmas. Oh, do you guys, I don't know if you know this or not, but Christmas is coming again. Bless the Lord. Oh, my goodness. I got to get ready for that. Got to make sure our kids have everything they need and want. And so you make the payment, and you're like going, okay, let's go to, I don't know, where do you Christmas shop nowadays? I just asked my wife what she wants, but we'll go to Amazon again. And then there's things like, I don't know, you're wrestling around trying to pay some, I'm like trying to think, what else do I have to pay for? Oh, gas. Good Lord. Keep that car running. She's a thirsty. I have a black truck, big black truck. She's a thirsty girl. But I'm grateful because I got a big black truck, and so I'll pay my big black truck. Here you go, my friend. Blessings. And then I'm out of brownies. Oh. What? Oh, Mackenzie. Oh, that's right. How many know you get old and you forget? That's okay. I'll just, here, this is what I'll do. Hold up. I got something for you, Mackenzie. Hold on. Here we go, Mackenzie, here. That's right. I was supposed to give you something. Here's the crumbs. I'm giving you the crumbs. That's for you. Now, the reason I do that, because you're like, give it to Griffin. No, he wasn't supposed to give it yet. He was supposed to wait till afterwards. But that's okay, Griffin. I love you. You're a generous spirit. And your mom made you, I know. Mothers. Mothers. But the reason I do it is because how many know that sometimes when it comes to our giving, we give from the crumbs rather than from the whole. And this is what God says. He says, guys, you're robbing me. Because there's a portion that covenant says that you give, but instead of giving it, you're sending your stuff in all these different directions and you're just bringing me the crumbs. And I think this is so important because so many times we go through life and we think, well, covenant, what does covenant mean? Covenant means that, hey, you know what? I'm going to put God first. First commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The terms of the covenant is this. God gets first place in my life. Yet sometimes when we live, we just give him the leftovers. Now, what you may not understand about the tithe is what was the purpose of the tithe? Because you ever really think about how can you rob God? Like if you want a fun theological thing to mess with or think about, is what does it mean to rob God? How many know that God is self-sufficient and self-existent, meaning he needs nothing? Did you know that God doesn't need anything? That he just exists? So why does he ask for a tithe? Is it for his benefit? Well, what you may not understand, but when you read the Old Testament, you know what part of the role of the tithe was for? Was to make sure that the work of the church or the house of the Lord could be taken care of. So that both ministers and ministries could have the provision necessary for the work of the kingdom. Like if you read Nehemiah, he was the guy that helped after the Israelites came back from Babylon, and they, you know, he was the one that helped build the wall. He got the wall project done, and he was just excited, so he went back And when he goes back, he was there for a while, and he's like, hey, I'm just going to come visit the place again and see how everything's going. So he returns to the promised land, and there's a wall, and there's a temple. But he says this in Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 10 through 12. He goes, I also learned that the portions assigned to the Levites, and just so you know, this is the tithe, and you'll see in a moment it'll say it, that the portions assigned to the Levites had not been given to them, and that all the Levites and musicians responsible for the service had gone back to their own fields. Because the gifts weren't coming in, because the tithes weren't being brought to the house of the Lord, those who were supposed to serve couldn't sustain or support themselves, and so they had to go back to the fields. And Nehemiah said this, so I rebuked the officials and asked them, why is the house of God neglected? Why is the house of God neglected? Did you know that when you withhold your tithe, the house of God gets neglected from doing the things that it needs to do in order to serve the kingdom? And not only that, and so it'll go on to say that all Judah then brought tithes of grain and new wine and olive oil into the storerooms. And we'll see in our passage that storeroom shows up again. And part of the purpose of the tithe wasn't just for the ministers, but also for the ministries, because the stuff that came in was to help make sure that the poor and the widows and the orphans, that they were taken care of too. And I want you to know that as a church, our desire is to serve the people of our church. And your faithfulness in giving, and just so you know, I forgot to say this right at the beginning of the message, which I should have done, but I forgot, but I'll add it in here now. I am not preaching this message from a place of need. I'm not here because we're like, dude, we're just like struggling as a church financially. We're just not going to make it. Like, we're so grateful. Our giving is ahead of last year. Like, year to date, our giving this year is ahead of last year in regards to our tithes and offerings. And I want to say thank you so much for your generosity. It enables us, allows us to do what we do. Like, thank you so much. So I'm not sharing this out of need. I'm just trying to make you aware of that covenant matters to God. And that when we withhold, what ends up happening is, it's not that God needs something, it's that somebody else isn't able to experience the blessing that God desired. So the other two things from the passage. And so, let me tell you what, I like what Tony Evans said. You cannot accomplish kingdom work when we steal from the kingdom. How many know that makes some good sense? Because what are we to be? We're to be kingdom builders. And you can't build the kingdom when you're stealing from the kingdom. You see, God takes covenant seriously. Okay, my two other points, and then we'll get ready to wrap. Ready for this one? Second is this. Finances are ultimately a heart issue. Ultimately, at the end of the day, finances are a heart issue. This is something Jesus taught. This is what our Savior taught. How many think the Sermon on the Mount is a pretty important sermon for his followers? Did you know that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus will say this, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Now, I know that when we talk about money, money is a very emotional kind of topic. I know that when you start talking about money, that there's this collective, you know, like, I want to hold on to something. He's just trying to take something from me. Like, I want you to know that money is a really interesting thing. But right at the heart of it is the heart of it. Again, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He goes on to say, if you read just after that, he says, hey guys, I want you to know that money is an allegiance or an alliance or a covenant issue. Because he says this, no one can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Ultimately, it's a heart issue. Now, when we deal with finances, the reason we like our finances is because we like to live. We like to not worry. How many of you worry sometimes because you're like going, dude, it would be so great just to have another thousand. You know what would have been a great illustration this morning is to have $1,000 and say, who would like it? How many could, yeah, like hands go up real quick. Oh, bless the Lord. You're like, dude, what would I do with another $1,000? Some of you are like going, oh my goodness, I can get this thing fixed that I need fixed. Boy, if I had $1,000, we could buy food. If I had $1,000, boy, I could put more gas in the car. We could go on vacation. I could have a date. Like how quickly, if we just had a little more, and because we don't have it, it begins to create insecurity and causes worry. And Jesus begins to address the worry issue immediately after talking about the alliance or the heart issue. Because he says this, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Our world is obsessed with money. And they're like, I just got to get more and I got to get more. Man, people, when I was growing up, it was always fun. What do you want to be when you grow up? And I'm like, rich. It's just a fun thing, right? Because who doesn't want to grow up and have some? Because you're like, if I have some money. And we want money because it allows us to chase after this and this and this and this. And Jesus is like, hey, guys, listen. Those who have no relationship with God, those who really don't care about him, who have set themselves up at the center, that's the thing that motivates them and moves them and compels them. They're trying to chase all these different things. And they worry about them. But Jesus says, but you guys, listen. Your heavenly Father, he knows that you need them. How many know we have a good Father in heaven? And he knows what we need. And so he tells his followers this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you as well. Seek first the kingdom of God. And there's a part that if we are going to build the kingdom, we need to put the kingdom in the first place. Because ultimately, it's a heart issue. Not only that, covenant faithfulness will release divine blessing. It was God who challenges his people to bring the whole tithe. Everybody say whole tithe. It almost sounds like roll tide, which is a football. But bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Bring it into the storehouse. He says, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the windows, the floodgates of heavens, and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Now, I don't want you to think that you know, like when you give, it's like a lottery or a slot machine that's just going to just pay out. What it means is this, is that when we live in right relationship with God, it allows the blessings of God to flow to us. When we live in places of disobedience, the blessing that God longs to get to us is interrupted. This is why when you try and live in sin and please God, you'll find out that the blessing doesn't always come like you think it ought. Because disobedience or violation of the covenant doesn't allow the benefit of the relationship to flow to you. And so we need to understand that covenant faithfulness releases divine blessing. You see, when we honor God with the whole tithe, God begins to pour out, and there are three things he mentions. First of all, he says, listen, I will grant you access to heaven's resources. And I want you to know, heaven's resources are more than just dollars. Can I get a witness on that one? You want to know? Listen, there are times you will have some financial, you'll have some areas in your life like going, I'm not sure how to get through this need. And God may not drop money in your lap, but sometimes he'll give you a new idea. He will sometimes bring a relationship into your life. God will do all sorts of things. He will provide energy. He will provide strength. He'll provide opportunity. He will begin to enable and bless the work of our hands in greater ways as we live in obedience. So honoring God with the tithe releases divine blessing. And part of that blessing is not only granting access to heaven's resources, but also protecting what we produce and enabling us to bless the nations. What's amazing at the end of this, just so you know, this is the last book for us, the last book of the Old Testament. And it says that the nations will call you blessed. If you go back to Genesis, God makes a promise to Abraham, where Abraham enters into a covenant with God. He says, listen, if you will follow me, if you will go to the land I show you, if you will, I will make your name great, I'll do this and this, but not only that, I will bless you, and you will bless the nations. You see, when God's people honor him with the tithe, it allows blessing not only to flow to us, but also through us to touch nations. Did you know that when you tithe, our church tithes on the tithe to bless our missionaries? Like when you give to Asbury Church in your tithes, I want you to know that part of what you're giving to is blessing the nations. Because God's blessing is not just to us, it's through us to impact our world. See, this is why I say, bring it to an end. Pastor Duane, you can come on up. I know some of you got brownies, and so you're like, your stomach's fine, but some of you didn't get a brownie, and you're like, I'm hungry now. Listen, kingdom-minded people are to be open-handed people. Kingdom-minded, open-handed. And this whole idea of tithing is really about setting the foundation for generosity. Just so you know, we haven't even begun to step into what generosity looks like. We're just trying to build a foundation so that our lives can actually be generous. And so when I'm talking about the tithe, I don't mean to like scare you or concern you, but I just want you to know when we're talking about the tithe, we're just talking about laying the foundation so that our lives might be generous and reflect the heart of God. For us to do that, what we actually have to do is we actually have to settle the heart issue. Like when it comes to walking with God, we just have to ask ourselves, are we going to honor God with our wealth? Are we going to put Him in the first place? Again, the reason you tithe, part of the tithe is you're saying, hey God, I am honoring you. You have first place in my life. You know what? We have to make a determination to be faithful. Not just do it when we feel like it. How many of you married people here don't always feel like wanting to be married to the person? That's not me. I was raising my hand for Patrick. I'm just kidding. But how many know it doesn't matter how you feel, you've made that commitment, and so you live from that moment. See, that's how it begins. It begins with saying, okay, so I'm just going to make the decision. I'm going to honor God with my tithe. I'm going to make it, not because I feel it, but hey, this is what it means to be in relationship with God. I'm going to honor Him first. You make the decision. But as you make the decision, you have to then become intentional about your finances. Because the reality is, if you're not intentional about your finances, you saw how quickly we could get rid of a plate of brownies or a thing of brownies. And you know how quickly you can go through a paycheck. Did you know that about 2/3 of Americans live paycheck to paycheck? They're only just a few hundred dollars away from a financial crisis just because like everything is so tight and their money's flowing through their hands. Did you know that money is sometimes called currency? And it just flows. And it can be really hard to hold on to, especially if you're not intentional about it. And God's word speaks so much about intentionality regarding finance. And so as we talk about what does it take to build the kingdom, it takes finance. And part of that is we honor God with the tithe, but we also have to learn to become intentional, not just about the 10%, but with the 90%. Because this is what I have found. I can live on a blessed 90 far better than I can live on a cursed 100. I'm just saying. Not only do we settle the heart issue, be intentional about with our finances. We have to build discipline into our routine. We have to build discipline into our routine. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Two verses later, we love that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Two verses later, he says this, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits. You see, we can't just give God the crumbs. We have to set them first. The way we demonstrate first in our lives. I remember back in the day, how many remember back in the day when you wrote checks? I know some of you, you still live back in the day, and that's okay. We love you. But I remember we would do our finances every week, and I would sit down, and I had my little spreadsheet. I had Microsoft Money on my computer, and I would add every entry, and I would write out every check. Do you know what the first check was every week that I filled out when I did my bills? It's to God. It was my tithe. Now that I don't do it, I love electronic banking because I can set it and forget it. You know, that's how I like it now. Because how many know you get old, you forget. And I need imposed discipline. But you know, we have to build discipline into our lives because it's not just enough to say this is something I'm going to do. It's something we have to choose to live. Honor God first. And lastly, I would tell you this, allow God to grow you through the seasons. I don't want anybody to leave here thinking that if you tithe, you're going to get everything you need and life is going to be easy financially. Because that's not what it's teaching us. What it does mean is this, is that God will meet our need. How many know God doesn't always show up when we think is the right time, but He knows what the right time is. He's the God who provides. And one of the things that happens in this is we actually have to learn to trust God, even when things in the season doesn't look as good as we hope. So I told you, I practiced this whole thing of tithing. I actually started with my first jobs as I gave my heart to Christ, and I worked at Gasland, and I worked at Gooseberries. And I would get my paycheck, and the first thing I would do out of my paycheck is I would set out my tithe, and I would give to God. And that's just a discipline that I developed in my life early. I still do it. And I'm only 38. I'm a little older than that. 41. And so, it's a discipline that I've developed. Don't put your hands down. It's a discipline I've developed. Can I just tell you, God has been so faithful to this person. And I'm just going to just help you real quick. I am not a super saint. You don't know this, but I'm a very, I'm a messy person. Quigley actually means untidy, unkept. And I like embrace it at times. Like Rachel's gone when she was in Seattle. I'm grateful she's back because she keeps my life together. It's a beautiful thing. But I am a work in progress. I've maintained disciplines in my life, and God has honored and blessed them. I got to tell you, one of the times where I saw this super clear was between my first and second year of college when I was studying to be a pastor. I went to school from Edmonton. I went to school in the United States. It was a long ways away. I wasn't close to family, and I was a long ways away, and it cost money. I didn't know how much money it cost because I could get loans. It was a beautiful thing. And so I remember as I went through the first year, I came to the second year and I'm like going, oh my goodness, I have not been able to make as much money this summer as I thought. And part of the reason is because I ate a lot of my money, right? Because you may not realize it, but I like to eat. And so I ate and all these different things. And it was getting closer to the time to go back to school. And I wasn't sure whether I would actually go back. And the reason is because finances. I was like going, God, I don't even know if I have enough to go. Like, I don't even know if they're going to let me in. And I remember just like having a moment on like a Friday night, just praying, just saying, God, this thing's costing me thousands of dollars, and God, I don't have it. And God, to be honest with you, I don't even have faith for thousands of dollars. But God, I'm just going to believe you for $100. God, would you just bless me with $100 just to help me know this is where you want me to be? Okay, that was my foolish prayer as a kid, right? I remember that Sunday morning, I went to church and I came in the side door. And I walked in the side door. And a man in the church came walking straight at me. And he put out his hand, and I went to shake it, because that's what I was taught to do. it felt there was a piece of paper between our hands. And I knew the prayer that I was praying, and I knew the concern and all these different things. And I remember opening the check, and it said, payable to David Quigley. And the amount, $100. I should have asked for $1,000. But you know what God showed me in that moment? He said this, I know this thing is costing way more than you think you have, but don't worry, I got you, Dave. I'll meet your need. I will bless beyond it. Now, did all the money come in at once? No, but can I tell you something? My education, that part of my education, all paid for. Didn't always show up when I wanted or how I wanted, but you know what? God paid and he has provided for every bit of it. It's like a gotcha. And the challenge that I have for you is, will you trust him by putting him first? Because if you're not intentional about that part, let me tell you, you're going to get caught up in just the demands and the flow of what life is and miss out on the blessing God has for you. Because God, I got a secret for you. He wants to get blessing to you. Because covenant is something he takes seriously. And he says, listen, I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I'm the one who fights for you. And what we do is we say, okay, God, I trust you. Finances are really a heart issue. It's not just an account balance thing. It's a heart issue. And not only that, when we begin to say, okay, God, I'm going to be faithful to your covenant, he will allow grace to begin to flow to you. And your trust will grow, and you'll find out that he will be with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will provide what you need. And we rest in his goodness. So God, may our hands be open. Lord, may we be kingdom-minded and open-handed. Now, God, I know in a room just like this, there are people that are struggling financially. There are people that are going through situations and circumstances. And God, I know there are some that are saying, I don't need a money message. I need a grace message. I need help. I need a God near me message. And God, I thank you that you are near us. That you know every desire. You see every hurt. You see every frustration. And God, I'm just asking that, Lord, your grace would begin to flow. Lord, mercy, stuff that we don't even deserve. God, that we might have peace, that we might have strength, that we might have confidence, that we might know your goodness. And God, I thank you. God, I pray that you would help us live open-handed as we become more kingdom-minded. Lord, help us set this foundation of honoring you with our tithe, that your name might be glorified, that hearts might be touched, that lives might be blessed. And we thank you for it. And just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many would just simply say, hey, would you just pray grace over my life? Maybe there's something you're just wrestling with and you just need God to show himself favorable to you. It could be financial, it could be physical, it could be whatever. You're just saying, God, would you just help my heart today? Would you just raise your hand because I want to pray with you. I see those hands. Lord, you see these hands and you see these people who are so dear to you, people you love so deeply. And God, I pray your blessing right now. Lord, I pray that in the quiet of this moment, you would reaffirm your grace and your goodness, your nearness. Lord, I thank you that you have a supply for every need that we have. And God, by your grace and in your name, we release favor. Allow healing to flow. Allow wisdom to flow. Lord, I pray that you would bring peace and understanding, that God, you would begin to direct finances, that God, your name would be glorified through your people. Thank you that you're the God who wants to bless us. And God, we recognize our need to live in covenant with you. And so, Lord, we choose, even in this moment, to make you first. Thank you for your grace and goodness. Thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, we're not going to sing because I know it's late. I told you two sermons, right? One was a PSA. Can I just tell you this? I really believe God wants to work in and through our lives to be a kingdom-minded people. And again, I'm thankful that you came this morning. And again, we don't always talk about this part of it. But we really want to be kingdom-minded. Because if we begin to live God's purpose, I want you to know his blessing flows to us in amazing ways. So as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. Lift his countenance up unto you and give you peace. Go and strengthen his might. Hug a few necks on the way out. Take some time to laugh with someone. High five someone. And no scurfers. It's a punch to the throat. Hey, God bless you guys. We'll see y'all soon.